But because of the we had a problem with the reproduction, we don't know how it happened that all the members of the board are not around, members of the management are not around. Not a single paper or a phone call, the line that says you have to resign. We really felt offended by that. And we have made it very clear from the beginning that there are certain things that you require as the committee, as the new committee. We know that you might have been working under different conditions, but we want you to do things in our own name, for not for any other reason, but for us to be able to have a control and proper oversight, because if we're going to allow the entities and departments to do as they wish, come when they want to come, present when they want to attend the secretary when they do, it's something that won't be able to control as we go forward. But if we start now, this is a waste of our time, Mama says, because we have other things to do. But because it's annual report, we have no choice to say we must come back today and give us a proper report and explain to us what happened. Whether the message did not come to be very clear from the board in the case. But we are here today. The members are here. We are going to listen to your presentation. But I'm sure before we can start, the chairperson would want to say something.
Does mean the chair may have been seated, though? To start off, each and every one of you, we apologize for not being able to be present yesterday. I'll explain that in a few minutes. That unavailable is not because out of disrespect. We have a very good working relationship with the previous committee, and I would like to establish the same thing on a basis of mutual respect, and I have a huge lot of respect for you as a portfolio committee, and it's our intent from the board, you know, to partner with you, because with you as in the team, it will enable us to do what we're supposed to do and to improve on our performance of the past year. As far as the composition of the board is concerned, we consist of directors appointed from a number of nominees, but it's three different social partners, being government, business, and labor. And we have six different directors, but we're all in a non-executive capacity on the board. So when we received the notice, Madam Chair, and that can go on record, being the chairperson and my management team can attest to that, I always rearrange my schedule. I literally traveled through the night to be here today. Yesterday when they phoned me, I was in Boerterval in my office. I'm a non-executive chairperson, and I started my journey from Boerterval to be here this morning. That's the amount of respect I have for this, but it was impossible for me to rearrange my diary yesterday to be here. I received the notice. Yesterday's meeting in my diary was scheduled for the beginning of the year, involving a lot of other people. And my management team can attest to that I tried everything in the book to be here yesterday. But we had a discussion and say, when you arrive, please apologize for my absence. So my sincere apology for not being here is not out of disrespect. Yesterday I had to attend to other matters that is primary of concern to my business. I'm being chief executive of the Grain South Africa, and I can tell you that we lead from here, and we will empower you with that. So please don't see that in any light of being disrespectful to you as the chair and every single member of your committee. And with that, I just want to say that I hope this week starts. You know, will not impede the development of a good working relationship with the committee, which I, as I said, treasure, and I would like to work on that to get things right. So, with those few words, Madam Chair, I hope you will have an understanding that the problem is the other members of the board, two of them are from government. While I was here, he was at another meeting in Parliament yesterday. Mr. Sam Oratova is with the Department of Labour. The other members from Labour, we haven't had a replacement. We're currently in a transitional phase. We accept the new constitution. We're in the process of reappointment of a new board. So one of the members of the board representing Labour passed away some months ago. So we have only one representative. We have a system of alternate directors, but being in transition for the new board, the alternate is not that readily available. As far as business is concerned, the other two members, I'm being the independent non-executive chairperson. These two guys are, the one is engaged with BUSA, and the other one is a business person. And I know that if they could attend, they would have attended, because it might be the same problem that I had in terms of when I received the notice. So, but I can assure you that between the board and the management, that communication is vibrant, up to date, and they hear with the blessing. I even had a lengthy discussion with the acting CEO before they came to ensure that our strategies are in place, etc. And he can attest to the fact that he was called last week to ensure that, you know, everything is in place. And so we should have been apologized. When I received the notice, I know now that I should have phoned the chairperson in person, say, it's impossible to attend. I've done that with the previous chairperson, and we have the relationship that if in the event that it's impossible that we have the arrangement and then pick up afterwards and have the arrangement that I can be called any time of day. But I know that you want to see us formally, you want to engage with us, and that's why we're here today. And we are extremely grateful that you rearrange your schedule, which must be also very hectic to see us today. And thank you for that opportunity.
Regarding the management of the productivity aspect, the organization experienced some financial constraints sometime in the previous year. And then one of the corrective measures to deal with that, advices from our department and National Treasurer, was that they should cut down on some of the unnecessary expenditures. That included travel. So that is why in the past they used to come here with a full management of productivity, the executive management. But that is why at this time it's only two, the acting CEO and the marketing executive manager. So I think that is if it could be understood that it's not that it was meant to not to address or to undermine the committee, but this time they couldn't come with the full complement of management because of those reasons. I think even the acting CEO will talk to those issues when he presents. Perhaps in the next meeting, you can ensure that the whole executive is coming.
I think we should attend the committee or remind them who you are.
Oh, yes,
yeah, and where you come from.
yesterday. My name is Paula Kwezi. I'm from the Department of Labor. I represent the department in the Board of Trustees.
No, that's the board members of the production, the SA, and the management, is there any remuneration that they are getting?
Okay, ma'am, let me then stop. Let me also add to what Paula said. Never in the past, the whole board was required to attend the meeting. It was almost either myself, the vice chairperson, or maybe one or two other board members. So we never attend as a whole board. You know. So as far as remuneration is concerned, we only get an allowance. You know, maybe we can explain exactly how it works. We do not get a monthly remuneration. We paid on a daily basis. But you, Chair, maybe our absentee, you can just quickly explain to you how are we remunerated. But just before I say this, our involvement with the PSA is not for the money. It's for the interest, in, you know, to do the job. And so, but let him explain this.
Thank you, Chairperson. What we use for remunerating our directors is we give them a stipend of a daily rate using the Treasury guidelines. So they are not on salary. The amount they receive is based on the number of meetings they attend.
Okay.
And that excludes government.
Yeah.
All those come from government, they get nothing.
So to attend this day, today's meeting will cost PSA my daily allowance. The chairperson has get some more than 2,000 something rand per day, plus 2 rand 92 per kilometer, plus direct expenses. That's what we have.
Did the members want to say something? No.
One question. Mr. Moratoba, is this office in Johannesburg or Pretoria?
No.
Which place?
His office is in Pretoria. Actually, he has been an acting director of the Department of Labor, but
you know why am I asking this to involve me in this? It's because my experience here in Parliament, the board members that have came for every meeting, wherever, that those people that ever there. When you call them, they come in. But my experience is that those who are, you know, they will always have excuses that were there. You know, the people that you'll be putting in, it's the people who are saying, who will be prepared to come, irrespective of whether they get money or they don't get money. You don't want to be told that, you know, other people are there or they're not executive. You want people who are really going to be responsible for the execution of this entity. So those that you know that they have no time, they're busy, their hands are full with other things, don't put them in. Because I hear what the department is saying, we were never told that they have cut expenses. And for us, we need to know, each department must tell us, how many must decide with them, how many people and who do we want to be here for accounting people? It's fine, we understand in terms of money, we don't really need all of you. But we are not going to decide who's going there, who's not going. We will decide who do we want to be part of this mission. So in future, for love from the department, you must tell them. You must tell all your entities. All those who have told them that they must not come here or they must send 2 or 3 people, we want to know and we are going to turn them back. When they come here and the people that we want are not here, we'll still turn them back. And in fact, we'll want more. It's just that you are compromising this one person. We'll want all of them and you will take this department will take responsibility. That's what we want. There are certain people that you need to be here. And they must leave what they are doing because they took this responsibility knowing that there are also responsibilities that are involved here. So they are not going to prioritize certain things and then the work of the department is secondary. We want people who will be always here when we want them. Those who say how much, jump and how much, they must come here. That's So most of the people that you need to be part of the board. I just hope that the work is very clear, even to those that you are in the process of appointing.
Madam Chair, can I just add to you your concern? It's a concern of mine also that when you have a board that in discharging your responsibilities, you cannot escape. If you're not available to attend meetings, then you rather doesn't make you must make you available. You can check on my record and the record of the board, you know, how we conduct our business. I pride myself in terms of the governance at PSA. The team that is here, it was a decision that we sent the people that can deliver whatever it takes and to take responsibility. My absence was, as I said, due to circumstances out of my control. Just to give you an idea, the previous meeting where we first met, that specific guy set aside, and you know that the meeting was running over because we were third in line in terms of that. I had to see the Minister of Agriculture back in Pretoria, due focusing on my primary job. Even this morning, I sacrificed a high level the meeting with SARS because of the importance of this. So it's about exchanging. And I can assure you, ma'am, from my side, I'll take the lead that we do not waste people's time, but we have people here that can answer to the call and can take responsibility all the time. And I can assure you, in my terms of office, I will ensure that that's the case. And if we have enough time in terms of notice, then I'll be sure that you see the people you want to see here that can make a difference and answer all your questions. Because for me, as I said in the beginning, it's about empowering you as a portfolio committee. We want to partner with you in terms of taking what we're supposed to do at Productivity South Africa to different levels. That's the guarantee from one side.
Thank you. We take that, and it will not jeopardize our relationship with the future. It's unfortunate that you have to start in this way. I want to say to you, Mr. Koka, by the end of the business day tomorrow, you must tell your business. You want to get the list of the delegation of all these people who are coming next week for the annual report. It's the teachers, no? By the end of business day tomorrow, so that we can see if you, so that you don't waste money to come here and then tell me this, so that we can look at that list and say, we want more people or we want to employ in this list. In terms of course, we don't know the name, but in terms of responsibility, those are people that you know. So you do it and they come here, you don't, you give department is free for them. When you send them back, you take. So we can start.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can I? That backlog, I think we should be lightening up a little bit. You want us today to lift, to raise the curtain in terms of what we've done, what our plans are. Let me share this joke with you. They tell the story that the man and woman, they were showering, and before the woman went into the shower, there was the doorbell rang, and she decided to tie the towel around and go to the door. And when she opened it, there was a neighbor, and the neighbor asked her, "Madam, $800 if you drop the towel." He said, "What the heck, I can drop the towel." He said, "Drop the towel, collect the 800, went back to the bathroom, and the husband asked, who was it? He was a neighbor. What did he want? They were just asking about something. Did he say anything about the $800 he's owning me? We were in trouble, let's take it together. Productivity South Africa as an organization, if you look in terms of our mandate, as Gola referred to in the past, and if you look in terms of the proceedings of previous meetings of this portfolio committee, you'll know that there was a lot of uneasiness in terms of engagement with the different political groupings in South Africa. At the stage, I think the primary concern from outside was are we as an organization still solvent? Do we have enough money to do our job? You can go to the past and the records, etc. That era has fortunately been passed, because that was, I think, we had teething problems regarding the flow of money from the government to PSA. And part of the redress of that was that we work now in a new dispensation. We have adopted a new constitution, putting the organization differently within the government structures that we get, that we are properly funded. Now, what happens is that we're not supposed to make money, to make a profit. So we have to do things to get reserves in the bank and to ensure that our cash flow is in order, etc. So those were difficult times in terms of to get the proper cash flow. We can now look and blame people or whatever the case may be. From my side as the chairperson of the board, I can assure you that in terms of the spending of money from government, nothing was spent fraudulently. There was no fraud, there was nothing like that. It's a timing, it's a lot of issues that has been ironed out, and today as we stand, if you look back at the previous year, you'll see that our finances are in good shape. I pride myself that you look in terms of the governance of productivity in South Africa, we received an unqualified report for a number of years in a row, and we're in very good shape. So what are we doing? We have to discharge some of the work that government initiated in terms of making funds available to improve the environment within which South Africa can do business. Our prime objective with Productivity South Africa is to make South Africa more productive. Now, I've been with the board for many, many years. I recall that in the very first meeting when we met with the different social partners, we spent one whole day where we interrogate the meaning of productivity, us from business against labor, etc. But we're far beyond that. Today, we've reached certain milestones, and we contribute. If you look in terms of our financial report, what do you have to look for? What's the money well spent? What is spent according to the mandate? But that will not be the end of the story. What difference does we make in terms of the money spent? Because we were entrusted with sources linked with our capacity as Productivity South Africa, and how did we link that, and what multiplied effect did we create out of that? And the records are there. We made a difference. More importantly, we lead not in terms of outcome, but also in terms of the processes needed to discharge those responsibilities. So we can even lead in terms of the level of governance at Productivity South Africa. So, but up to now, and as you will see in terms of the financial report, the annual report, is that the main focus could have been seen as being a rescue operation to some extent. Because engaging in entities in distress, financial distress, we apply whatever we have, we apply tools that have been developed, that have been accepted worldwide, we source from international partners from Asia, we adopt best practices, we translate it into the South African idiom, and we implement it. That is far as the social plan is concerned. In terms of the workplace challenge, we focus what can we do different, what can we do better, because becoming more competitive in South Africa, in my terms, mean that you must be not work harder but smarter, to do more with less. And we do that, and we think we contribute to a better business environment where more people can thrive. Obviously, there's a lot more work. The demand for what we can do exceeds the supply. That's the good news. So if you look in terms of our annual report, judge it against those criteria. And then lastly, having had the experience of the year that's gone by, what do we envisage? How are we going to take this further? And in our last board meeting, we decide to put more emphasis, not to be a rescuer, but also to do that, but also start contributing towards development. Because, and I think there will, what will play in there might be the workplace challenge in terms of what can we now do differently, because there's a lot of challenges. And how do we synchronize it with the government initiative, and we're part of that, we're part of the delivery system, and we also said, guys, we must work, maybe get closer ties to the economic development fraternity within the government structure. And how do we unlock partnership between private business, engaged labor, and by so doing, leveraging what government intends to do, especially in terms of rural development, etc. So the focus will, in the new dispensation, may shift a little bit to add more to the challenge, not to do less, but to add more. But in summary, Chairperson, Madam Chair, is that we're looking at an organization that in my opinion, that I can attest to, that we have discharged our responsibilities. We did it in good fashion in terms of the governance levels, but most very importantly, is that we made a difference. We lead by example, both in terms of outcome, where we made a difference, but also in terms of the different processes we follow that people can learn from them. And we are in good standing with regard to our international relationships, where the Asian Productivity Organization see us as the gateway of productivity enhancement into Africa. Likewise, we run the Secretary of PAPA, that's the initiative within Africa, where we try to, as I said, do more with less. And we are in good standing as far as that concerned. Obviously, the levels of proficiency in terms of productivity differs if you go into Africa, but the will to make an improvement is there. So this is what we do. So as an organization, you may ask, have we done enough? We can certainly say no, we wish we could do more, but in what we have in terms of capacity, we think we have done a very, very good job up to now. We are in good standing, and we think we can also now identify specific areas where the leveraging can be enhanced to do more. And we have engaged with organized agriculture, engaged with organized business, and we were well accepted. We want to establish ourselves as an entity that is neutral in enhancing competitiveness, enhancing productivity. The bottom line, Madam Chair, is if you look in terms of the scorecard where South Africa lies worldwide, we're not in a good fashion. So there's a lot of work to be done. With that few remarks, then can I turn to the, except if you have questions in terms of that, I would then ask our acting CEO to run us through the highlights of our annual report, and then we can interrogate what we said. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members of the committee. In terms of our vision of productivity, say we've indicated that it is to lead and inspire productive and competitive South Africa. So we're not just limited to companies, but we're looking at the entire economy. And our mission being productivity, say being a tripartite organization, as indicated by the Chairperson, we draw our board from organized business, organized labor, as well as governmental representatives to ensure that we look at various aspects of productivity in our dealings. So with an objective of development and enhancement of South Africa productivity by unleashing the spirit of continuous productivity, we believe that productivity is a journey and it's a process. You don't come to an end, but you continuously ensure that what you do today is better than how you've done it yesterday and that tomorrow is better than today. And then in terms of the key focus areas, the first one being inspiring a culture of productivity among the South Africans. So that's the program that we have expanded to ensure that productivity is in the minds and the lips of South Africans, that people can start thinking and debate about the issue of productivity. And then we also look at an area known as productivity knowledge and information, where we look at studies at a macro level where we can influence debate with the reports that we generate, be it statistical reports, be it IMD report that looks at the competitiveness of our country in relation to other economies. And we also believe in enhancing productivity skills and competencies. What we have embarked on in the current year to even ensure that we make a bigger a bigger impact in the economy. We started partnering with the teachers to ensure that productivity competencies are inculcated in what they are doing. And then we also look at public sector productivity. We believe that if we promote productivity in the public sector, it can contribute a great deal in terms of service delivery. And then the next program which we are focusing on, which has stretched our resources because of the current economic condition, is the turnaround solution for companies, where companies that are in distress or they're in the verge of losing employees approach productivity essay, and we help them with the turnaround solution. And then we also do industry sector collaboration and strategies. And then finally, I will take you through corporate services. I've built up the section dealing with the finances in terms of explaining what are the sources of our funds and where did you spend most of the funds on. In terms of the highlights for 208009, those things that stand out. The first one, productivity essay, rebranding and consolidation. We did a study of MPI and in terms of how we're perceived in the market, and we're still seen as dull and unattractive. So we had to undergo the process of rebranding, which included the change of name and the colors from National Productivity Institute to Productivity Essay. And what's key about being Productivity Essay is that it's clearer to people what we are all about, unlike the National Productivity Institute, which was causing confusion in the market when people were interviewed about what they thought. There were different messages, but we had to come up with one way where it can be clear to all the South Africans what we're all about. And then what we're also proud of is the hosting of the World Productivity Congress, which was the first in Africa, and which did not only result in the generation of ideas and techniques, but has contributed a great deal in terms of shaping the agenda of productivity for the African continent. So we can be proud to say that we were invited in AU Social Commission early this year to come and help in drafting the 5-year agenda for Africa. And I attended the meeting in August where it was approved, and the member states will be evaluated on that program. And then we also do productivity research projects, which go a long way in terms of positioning productivity, say, because once we publish that, it attracts a lot of media and people start debating around those issues, which is what we want regarding productivity. We also have a PCCP program which looks at helping the companies that are in the second economy in their transition into the first economy. So we provide training, we provide techniques, we provide measurements that will help them measure productivity and ensure that the normal 2-year span of SME is extended by making them more sustainable. And I've already spoken about turnaround solutions. And then we also have industry sector collaboration and strategies. And what Professor Lokshya has indicated earlier on is international collaboration, which we are proud of, because with our Asian partnership, we are able to look outside as well. We are not only inward in the focus in terms of our skills, but we also look at how good countries within the Asians are using a technique to improve the level of productivity. So over a period of the past 3 years, we've been working with them in terms of training of our staff, who in turn are able to utilize the skills that they've acquired in their program. And then what we've also indicated is improved from matters of emphasis last year to an unqualified audit report due to improvement in the manner in which we are approaching risk. Previously, we would start embarking on programs before funds have been guaranteed, but now we've been taking a cautious approach, ensuring that first funds are guaranteed before we can embark on the program. And then I'll move on to the first program, which is inspiring culture of productivity among South Africans. As you will see later on in the finances, that's an area where we are targeting the entire South African community, and we've done a lot of work in terms of ensuring that there is productivity awareness among South Africans. and I'll be touching on the project. So the objective of that program is to promote understanding and importance of productivity in South Africa, and then secondly, cultivating a productivity attitude among learners and teachers. And as I indicated, we feel it's important that we train learners about productivity so that by the time they go to their work environment, they have already embraced productivity. That productivity should not be the concept that they encounter only at workplace. And when we also create forum for exchange of productivity knowledge and skills locally, regionally, as well as internationally. And that most of that happened during the hosting of the Congress, where we were able to put papers together from South Africa, and we also had international counterparts also contributing in the debate. So it resulted in successful hosting of the World Productivity Congress. And then, as indicated, to create awareness among South Africans, we normally have on an annual basis productivity awards. So the finals for this current financial year will take place tomorrow. So where we encourage companies that have sustainable productivity improvements to participate in the awards. Those companies that do not make it, they still benefit in that they know which areas they still need to improve on. And then the other area is media and advertising campaigns. One of the challenges and criticism which we've received from the committee previously was that productivity, which was then MPI, was not well known in the economy. So over years, we've been working hard in terms of ensuring that we take advantage of the spaces in the media and advertising campaign to create a greater awareness about our services. And what we also do is we undertake awareness workshops with our key stakeholders. We go to trade union workshops, we go to the chambers, as well as conduct breakfast show where we can put companies together and run them through the programs that Productivity is having. And this program also looks at international partnerships that will ensure that what we do is competitive and is cutting edge. And then among the activities under this program is that there has been a rebranding consolidation where we've workshopped with our staff in terms of understanding what the brand stands for and ensuring that there's consistency in what we're doing. So there's been updating of signage, stationery, magazine brochures, and various presentation templates. So the colors that you see here are consistent within Productivity SA. And then we hosted in partnership with World Confederation Congress, the World Congress that I spoke about. And then we also have analysis of ongoing productivity concerns and their suggested workplace solutions. So we are continuously interrogating the way we do things to make sure that we are on the cutting edge. And then I've also mentioned the issue of the National Productivity Award, which currently the finals are taking place in Gauteng, but there has been interest in provinces. So we are hoping that going into the future, we will be able to get provinces to host the final awards, so which will encourage the embracing of productivity in all the provinces of the country. So the next province that's likely to come up is KZN, where we only had regional awards, but the amount of interest shown and the amount of support they want to put in the productivity awards may lead to them hosting the finals. And then in terms of achievement of this project, as indicated, that is creating awareness. So what we've had to do is we've had to upgrade our website. Our website contains information that is of use not only to companies, but it can also help students that want to know about productivity as well as people who are conducting business. So our website has been developed and we are doing ongoing maintenance progress. And then as indicated, so that in terms of improving on our awareness, we had a target of 50 media exposures and we achieved 58. And in the current financial year, we decided to raise the bar to 70. And I'm proud to indicate that to date we've achieve the target of 72, meaning by the end of the financial year, we will have doubled in terms of creating awareness about who we are and what we are all about. So that we achieved to a large extent because of partnership we are having with SABC, where they were willing to include us in the education program where we can reach out to the learners. And then what we also do in terms of dissemination of information, we distribute electronic newsletters to all our stakeholders where they can interpret and interrogate issues relating to productivity. And then we've been able to put together annual reports, which was completed on time, as well as Congress that was successfully hosted. And then with regard to international partnerships, we have a partnership with our Asian counterparts. Those countries that are promoting productivity, which among others include leading countries like Japan and Singapore, where they are able to share their expertise and help us in terms of improving our productivity. We also have, through the bilateral that the government has with the Japanese government, a Japan Productivity Center for Socio-Economic Development, where they are working directly with us in terms of coming to our environment, identifying companies where they can effect improvement, measuring the position that the company is at the beginning, and then working with our consultants in terms of effecting improvement, with the aim of transferring skills to enable our consultants to be able to replicate what they will have learned. And what we are also proud of is that having been successful in terms of promoting productivity in the African continent, a productivity essay is seen as has been re-elected to be the secretariat of the Pan-African Productivity Association. So we are responsible for driving this Pan-African Productivity Association, with Mauritius being the leader in terms of the first president. And then we are also proud in terms of being invited to AU Labour and Social Affairs Commission at the beginning of the year, and where we assisted in drafting the agenda for productivity for Africa, which is a 5-year project program in which all African countries that are participating will be measured against. We've come up with objective and the targets, and every country will be reporting on how they have done in terms of achieving those targets. And the next program is Productivity, Knowledge and Information. So this one looks at knowledge management as well as looking at the statistics. So the objective is to initiate, conduct, and coordinate productivity-related research by means of a network of research partners in order to produce at least 4 reports. Some of the information that we generate, for an instance, regarding statistics, we have to work with organizations like Reserve Bank and SSA, but we have to refine that information and make it palatable for our stakeholders, which is still lessons learned and best practices from successful cases inside and outside the country for adaptation as well as application. And the program also looks at generating information to positively influence policy debate and formulation, and therefore impact productivity and competitiveness. One of the key achievements which we saw last week was in the clothing and textile before the agreement was concluded. We are asked to give input regarding productivity, how that sector was performing, and the part of the agreement which was sent to us, it included that sector focusing on productivity, creating a productivity institute. So meaning we have been able to influence that sector in terms of looking at the issue of productivity, which will lead to its competitiveness. So annually we do public sector study, we contribute to IMD Competitiveness Yearbook, where we look at South Africa as well as other countries that are participating, and look at various areas of productivity and competitiveness and we are able to report in terms of saying which areas are we still experiencing challenges, which areas have we improved on, and that's a source for media attraction. We also do impact assessment of the influence of the governance framework, including labor legislation on productivity and competitiveness. We also do annual productivity statistics and the impact of skills development on productivity statistics. And then in terms of productivity statistics, what I can pick up from that report is that the report shows that South African economy is entering a period which will be characterized by challenging economic conditions, which it indicated that the issue of productivity has to be taken seriously. This would only be possible if several supporting conditions are met, where we indicated that productivity initiatives need to be intensified at all levels. More initiatives are required to enhance the skills and knowledge, and that new products and services are required for the global market. So just that's part of what one can pick up from the start. And in terms of the targets that we have set and have indicated in the annual report, is that we set a target of producing productivity statistics reports, which we've been able to do. And then we've also prioritized the sectors to be studied. And we have been able to produce those sector studies. And as indicated, the one for clothing and textile was embraced by the sector. And then I've also indicated the issue of the IMC report, which is competitiveness report that ranks South Africa among participating countries and looks at various industries. And then we've also done a draft literature review that looks at labor legislation on productivity. So this takes me to the next project that looks at public sector productivity. And in terms of this program, the objective is to lead the development customization, because we want to take our product and customize it for that environment, and distribution of productivity competencies and mindsets among South Africans, and to provide productivity improvement to public benefits. And we also look at the issue of incorporating productivity concepts, values, and applications into the national curriculum, which I said earlier on, and in that case we'll be able to get a bigger reach in terms of our productivity initiatives. And then we also develop increased number of sustainable small micro-enterprise productivity improvement. We think part of dealing with the unemployment can be to help SMEs become sustainable, because that's an area that can help in terms of improving job creation opportunities. And then in terms of the projects, we've been having national school debates where we get learners to engage on productivity concepts. And then we've also been responsible for training of productivity facilitators. And then we also go to government, to state-owned enterprises, and train their managers to be able to improve their service delivery. And we also ensure incorporation of productivity concepts and values into the national curriculum statement by training the facilitators. We are also responsible for training of small enterprises, coach and mentor, to make and improve productivity in their own organization. We don't simply give them theory and go away, but what we do, we teach them to measure their current level of productivity and then indicate to them what they need to do to improve productivity, and then go back and see if they've been able to effect an improvement. And then if there are still some gaps, we help them in terms of addressing those gaps. And then in terms of the achievement, we set a target of 480 educators trained, and we were able to more than double the target. And then small and micro enterprises trained, the target was 1,800, but we only were able to get 935 due to limited funding. I need to explain this one, that with regard to SMME, we rely on funding outside the grant, because if we try to do it within the grant, we get into the situation that we experienced in the previous financial year. So when we started and set the target, we were hoping to get most of the funding from CEDA, but the funding was restricted, so that's why we were only able to reach 935. And then for the activities trainers train, we train 55. The reason why we're going that route, if you train a trainer, then you have a bigger impact in the economy, because that can be, that can have a multiplier effect. And then we are also, we've acquired a tool for procurement of learner management system as part of the accreditation of our learning. And then we targeted training 120 skills development facilitators. We trained 79. There's a certain group that was targeted for the last quarter linked to bank features, which due to non-availability was postponed to the first quarter of the year. And the training did take place in the current financial year. So in the current financial year, we will be able to do a catch-up as far as skills development facilitators are concerned. That will also be improved by the fact that we are improving our partnership with all the teachers. And then in terms of workout training, we targeted 420, 480, we exceeded that, and we ended up sitting at 625. And then state-owned enterprises managers, we more than doubled the target. And then we were also able to develop a tool for South African National Council. And then in terms of the theme about who do we target when we do SME, which is normally the area of interest. So in terms of small enterprise, the portion of 379 comprised 168 male, 211 females. And then the provinces that we were able to look at was Northwest, Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Northern Cape, Free State and Limpopo, because part of the criticism with the intervention is that we tend to focus around housing, KZN, as well as Western Cape. So in this case, we are able to go to other provinces as well. We also were working with the Department of Arts and Culture in the Free State, where we were able to train 124 small crafters, and they were in those following areas: Lijoli Busa, Thabo Mofutsanyana, Motheo, Hari, and Harish region. And we were also able to draw statistics there of, in terms of 47 males and 77 females that were trained. In terms of future forum and early warning system training for SMEs, so that's where we train the SMEs to identify early warning systems. So in those interventions, 193 were males and 279 were females. In terms of government and state-owned enterprise managers that have been trained, which is 106, eight were, here we're splitting it in terms of the program, eight were in the South African Nursing Council, and then 16 in SANPAC, and then we are also able to train three in the Limpopo Department of Economic Development and Tourism, which is a great partner in terms of product, of improving productivity in that region. And then we are also able to train 79 principals from schools in Zira, which is in the Northwest province. So that we're trying to demonstrate that we also reach other provinces as well. So this takes me to the currently most popular program, which is Turnaround Solutions for Companies. So this program is the initiative of NEDLAC, where there was a concern about the job losses in the economy in 1998. And Productivity SA was requested to manage the program that will help companies that are in distress in terms of turning them around. So this program is funded by Department of Labor, with the implementation being done by Productivity SA. And in terms of the objective, we provide technical support to prevent job losses. We're not focusing on saving companies, but we're focusing on saving jobs. We want to save as many jobs as possible and ensure that the company returns to a profitable solution through developing enterprise turnaround strategies. So we get into the company and work on a turnaround strategy. And we also focus on promoting collaboration between management and labor. What we believe in as a philosophy throughout our program is that in an environment where there is good relationship between management and labor, you're likely to get a continuous productivity improvement, because you create that environment where there's trust and the sharing of information. And in terms of the project for 2809, we've been able to establish future programs. But before we can even start with the work, we make sure that there's a signed document between management and labor. And then we capacitate that future forum, because mm-hmm. in some instances we find that labor representatives have not been exposed to key drivers of that particular campaign. So we train them in terms of them understanding, so that when we come and discuss the strategy, they can relate because they have a better understanding. And what we are also doing is to say, instead of just focusing on companies that are in distress, let's also go in and help companies that are stable in terms of identifying the key drivers and measuring this, so that they should not, we should not be reactive and only come in when they are in distress, but they can be able on their own to measure their own productivity and come up with a corrective action should they have problems, or ask for help before it's too late. So we also developed early warning systems for both companies that are stable as well as those that are in distress. So we leave them with a measure where they can be able to see problems before it compounds. And we conduct impact assessment to evaluate the impact of what we are doing, because it's not just a question of coming in and taking them through the process. So we measure the indicators in the beginning as well as in the end, and be able to say productivity has improved by so much, the number of employees has increased by so much, the reach in the market has also expanded, depending on what you want to make in that particular campaign. We also conduct desktop sector studies. The reason why we conduct desktop studies is to understand the environment. It's much easier for us if you go to a company that is in the agricultural sector and you know the macro issues that are affecting that particular industry. So by the time you zoom in into that company, you have a clearer understanding. So in the previous financial year, our work on turnaround impacted on about 15,330 jobs. And then in terms of the targets that have been set by this particular program, we targeted 120 future forums, even though the companies that had applied were in excess of 120 by the end of the financial year, but companies that had committed to a future forum were 105, with the rest coming in the first quarter of the next financial year. And then we've also, due to delay in terms of forming future forum, the next step, it also affects the finalization of the turnaround plan. So we're sitting at 59, and there was an improvement in the next quarter. And then in terms of establishing proactive future forum, there was a reluctance on companies that are stable to allow us to engage them on, because they thought they were fine and they didn't need help. But we are able in the current financial year to improve in terms of convincing the companies that even those that are stable, they still need to put anyone in to change the place. So we have picked up on proactive future forums. So last year, we were able to achieve 90 early warning systems compared to 64. And then with regard to sector studies, we did 4 of the 6. And we've put forward to the next financial year an additional target to make sure that all the key sectors in the economy have been studied. And then impact assessment is work completion. So to be able to do impact assessment, it depends on where you are with the program. Some of our intervention takes anything between 6 months to 18 months. So it's very difficult to say that if you have 120 companies, all of them by the end of the year will have reached, come to a closing stage, because it depends whether you're dealing with issue of improving productivity, or there's a problem with the market, or it's a simple matter of a company being underfunded, in which case we can turn it around within 6 months. So in terms of our services, last year we were able to conduct 20 awareness seminars just around this particular program, not talking about anything else, but just creating awareness about our turnaround. And then we were able to compile 17 success stories, and we were able to compile an annual report just relating to the companies that are in distress. We are also having 2 case study videos which makes it easy when we go and sell ourselves to a particular company. They see the visuals that this is the company that was experiencing challenges, and they hear a testimony from one of the workers saying that this is where we were, we traveled, and through this intervention we are able to see the light. And then we were also able to do a print and electronic campaign for this particular program. The results speak for themselves in the current financial year, because the funding is for 120 company interventions, but to date we already have 111 companies that have applied for assistance. So meaning that we still have more than 4 months in the year, so the target of 120 will be more than exceeded in the current financial year. And then that's an indication of where our social plan interventions are, that we are in all the provinces. Of the 106 companies that have signed the Future Forum, we have about 29 coming from the Eastern Cape, 13 in Gauteng, and then 16 in KwaZulu-Natal and Free State. So those are the provinces where we're getting most of the requests. But what we've done is restructured. We're having a portfolio manager within this program that will try and create a balance to make sure that we get as many in other provinces as well, and that there's no skewness, but only looks at Eastern Cape, Gauteng, as well as KwaZulu-Natal. In terms of sectors that have been mainly affected by the distress in the economy, most of our interventions are in the agricultural sector because of the automation that takes place there. And then metal, steel, and iron, as you know about the challenges, as well as clothing and textile. I think it also explains why we're having so many companies coming from the KZN, because that's where we have most of the companies in the clothing and textile industry. And what I can also mention here is that in terms of the partnership with the Japanese, where they were exchanging information, one of the companies that we targeted was the company in the clothing and textile, so that whatever lessons learned, we can benefit to the clothing and the textile sector. And then this is just a case study, given the fact that we're saying that most of the interventions are in the agricultural sector, but I decided to draw one of the many case studies where we're having a chamber farmers cooperative comprising 14 land reform farms covering 12,000 hectares. So they were in trouble, they were underfunded, so we assisted them in terms of getting 6.1 million from the Department of Agriculture, yeah. And then production across all members was increased by approximately 200 tons. And then there were also innovative solutions that were implemented, such as 40 hectares of previously unused land. So productivity is not just about underutilization of human resources, but there can also be underutilization of land. So in that case, we were able to intervene there. It yielded 5 tons per hectare, generating additional income of 2,000 per ton for the farmers' conference. Hence, there was that level of profitability. None of the cooperative members' farms had to be liquidated, and all the jobs across all the properties were saved. So that's one of the many case studies that we are proud of. And then this takes me to another program, which is industry collaboration as well as strategies. So here we look at value chain efficiency. We promote constructive labor relations at workplace. So this program also looks at ensuring that there's sharing of information between management and labor. And then we also develop world-class practices for continuous productivity improvement, where workers go through modules that look at quantity, cost, speed, as well as morale and safety, in terms of helping them to develop world-class practices for continuous productivity improvement. So in those interventions, we ensure that we do not only take them through productivity, but we leave them with a productivity champion. Somebody will continuously be engaging the company to move on and improve. And we also ensure that they're sharing and disseminating experiences and lessons. So we do have a workplace challenge booklet that covers all the case studies, which we disseminate within companies. And then in terms of number of companies that we're trying to put on board, we targeted 64, and we were able to nurture 79. So nurturing is, at the end of the year, the companies that we have succeeded in recruiting. And then in terms of capacity building, because most of it happened in the last quarter of the year, so we're only able to do 6 workshops. Most of the workshops were done in the first quarter of the financial year. And then in terms of participating user groups, we targeted 11 and we exceeded that. We got up to 12. And then clusters, we targeted 8 and we had 15 that were active. And we were also able to put a transformation toolkit that was tested, which can be applied in companies. And then this takes me to the last aspect, which is the corporate services. In terms of corporate services, the first aspect is to look at the issues of compliance from the HR point of view, that we complied with EQT and workplace skills reports, which were submitted on time. And we have an organization that's well represented. And then through our interventions, through the partnerships that I presented earlier on, we were able to get a benefit in terms of skills transfer that is in excess of $6 million, which was paid for by the Japanese government as well as their counterparts. And we've been able to engage 12 employees which were trained on basic course for productivity for practitioners. So we train people that can go to companies and implement this scheme, and we ensure that over and above the fact that we employ industrial engineers, that we ensure that those industrial engineers have cutting edge knowledge and competencies, as well as being able to implement what they have learned. 2 employees participated in an observational study meeting to Japan, and the total for Africa was paid for by the Japanese government. And then in terms of our funding, most of our funding for which we are grateful is approved by this forum, and as indicated, the 45% of our project is funded via the government grant. And the other aspect which is expected to grow, not only because of partnership with Department of Labor, but we're looking at other partnerships, is the funding of social plan, which is currently sitting at 28. I expect the 28 to increase significantly going into the future because of the demand for our services. And then we also have explained the workplace challenge, which is the program funded by Department of Trade and Industry for companies that are stable to help them to be world class. And then the remainder of the 10% we get it from various sources. And as indicated, that for our SMEs, we've been looking at partnering with organizations like CEDA, and currently we are negotiating with the teachers to help. And that will help us in terms of reaching as many SMEs as possible. But other than that, the grant funding is not sufficient in terms of helping us to get the targets we want to reach in the economy. And then in terms of the financial statement. In terms of financial performance, when one looks at the nature of our funding, as indicated, grants received being the huge chunk, $75 million, other income being $15 million, and then having that finance income, which resulted in total revenue generated being about $91,103,000. And then in terms of our expenses, when one looks at it, the big chunk would be the staff expense as well as other operating expenses. What I need to explain and clarify is that in terms of the workplace challenge project as well as social plan, we are project managing. So in terms of the core competencies that relate to turning around companies, we use internal resources, but we also have skills that are not core to the organization, such as raising funds, difficulties, marketing, etc., which we outsource, hence it explains. And if we were to change the model, we would get into trouble, because those skills are required on a need basis. So when you embark on a turnaround and you've targeted 120 companies, you are unable to say whether most of them will require marketing or the raising of funds. So given that we have done an analysis that indicates that in most cases 70% of the interventions relate to productivity, the inefficiencies within companies, we have those core skills internally, but anything that is not core is done externally. And then the other aspect which one can look at on the expenditure side is if you look at the staff expenses. It's a little strange that you see the expenditure being on the decrease. So in that particular, in the previous financial year, what we also experienced is that we lost about four long-serving members that went on retirement. So that resulted in pushing the labor cost, but resulting in the savings in the next financial year. So hence you see that. And what we also did as well, because as you can see, the previous financial year, the situation was not looking rosy and we had to reverse it. What we did was we focused on all the skills that are core and are utilized in terms of our turnaround solution, and where we could group the support staff and not fill in the post, we've done that, and we are continuing to be efficient in spite of that. And then the other big expense is the marketing expense. As indicated, that we have embarked on the rebranding exercise as well as creating awareness about productivity improvement and improving on the mindset. Hence, we show an increase in that particular expense. But on the other hand, it's paying in terms of the demand for our services. There's increased awareness about who we are and what we are able to offer. And the proof of that is the amount of media attention, which I said has improved from 58 exposures in the previous financial year, and to date we're sitting at 72. And then in terms of looking at the financial position, the financial position shows an organization that is bound, because our assets are greater than our liabilities. When we look at that issue of property and equipment, most of what you see there is computers that are utilized by our staff. So, and the reason why there's been an increase is not because we got disposed, but it's because of the depreciation. So we try and keep them as much as possible. You do not automatically replace them after 3 years, but you only replace those that are obsolete. And then in terms of trade and other accounts receivable, debtors look bloated, but that was not a challenge. We were able to recover that money. It was mainly what we invoiced in the last month of the financial year, and I can proudly say that to date, the data that are over 60, the last time I checked, is only 60,000. So our data collection has been quite good as well. And then cash and cash equivalent was about 9 million. And then trade and other accounts payable is also work that was done in the month of March, as well as payroll related payments, which only gets paid in the first 7 days of the financial year. And in closing, we were able to close up the difference between assets and liabilities of about 5 million. And what we explained in the last note of the financial statement was the fact that even though we're sitting with the 5 million, as we have seen in those processes leading to turnaround, that money is committed, because if you've already committed a company in terms of future forum, you still need to proceed and take that company through a strategy which will be agreed between management and this, and you also need to move into implementation. That's That's it on my presentation. I don't know if there's anything that I haven't covered which my colleagues want to emphasize on.
Yeah, I think we can add that. Yes, we have seen improvement between the year, the previous year, and the current year, because the other year we ended with a deficit of 7 million, which we managed to turn that around, as you say, that year with that 5 million, we don't have a deficit. So we actually, as a department, we're happy with that turnaround, because we had a problem, because with the deficit that was violating the CSMA, the organization is not supposed to have a deficit.
Just
to
add to that comment, that in the turnaround, we worked very closely with the financial leaders within the Department of Labor to ensure that, you know, what we do, you know. So again, as I said, the deficit is nothing that it was spent wrong. As he tried to explain it, you have to create capacity and then you have to wait for the funds. Sometimes the timing that went wrong, but we clear, and as far as the reports are for our auditors are concerned, they support that. Obviously, doesn't look good if you have a deficit of 7 million rand. It doesn't look good in any terms. But if you go into the root causes of that, that provides an answer. And then what you then see is that in collaboration with the department, that turnaround strategy in terms of reporting and financing the flow of funds lead to what we see here. But thirdly, we are not, as much as we're not allowed to have a deficit, we're not allowed to make a huge profit. You see, we cannot have funds, government fund lying idle. But as Bongani tried to explain, these are funds in lying in awaiting to be used, you know, because when you're helping companies in terms of a plan, you don't stop at the end of the financial year. It's a continuous process. So as far as I can state with the responsibility as a member of the audit committee as well as the chairman of the board, that from our side we're happy with what we see, and that the business of South Africa is on an ongoing base, which is very important for us.
Also, the last one from the government is that from the last committee, the acting CEO Alice also said that the problem with the footprint in the various provinces, that has been a problem due to funding constraints, because SA has only three regional offices. That is the one in Mission, in Kaltin, which is also the head office there, and then there's the one in Cape Town, and the other one is in Devon. So there has been a complaint that I remember we also had a portfolio commission member from Batawa. We said there were issues around productivity. They needed a municipality. So that is why we decided to expand there, that even though there are not actual offices in those provinces, but there are portfolio committee members within the organization that coordinate productivity issues in a partnership with Umsobo, Umsobo was here yesterday, because they are also sent out for in those areas. That is that in leveraging resources with partner with them, as well as in the partnership to bring the services to the people there. I think the other thing that I think would have also helped here, I was asking the executive manager here. They usually prepare a 10-minute video just to show us the beneficiaries of these services, for that. Actually, it better just give the complete picture when you see also the beneficiary actually saying what is it, whether they're exporting to pay me for money. They were saying this time they didn't bring it this time. Maybe they can send it so that even further, even after this meeting, say when you have the time.
Thank you.
Mm.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation.
In one of the slides, you have shown that you had in a dream the World Productivity Congress. That's what I understand in involving other countries. Lucky enough, there was mention made that productivity SA has also financial constraints somehow. What impact does it have, that particular congress that it has, that will also help our country in ensuring that it has financial revival at the end of the day? The second question, in one of your slides, you have shown that one of the, some of the cooperatives have to be liquidated, but I missed something. Maybe my question was the same. Is there any assistance that you would provide in ensuring that those cooperatives, at the end of the day, does not completely collapse, or after they have, you have been identified them and tell them at a long distance, if they collapse, then it's their own thing, it's their own thing to carry. What is that to do in ensuring that they do it? Lastly, is the partnership with the CPAC that you made mention earlier on in enhancing production of skill and community skills, which are those with the CPAC?
Thank you. On that low,
thank you.
You see, we don't think alike in the AOC.
I will reserve that comment.
Yeah. You want that to discuss with
I'll reserve it for Thursday.
Who thinks alike on Thursday?
Okay.
Yes, thank you very much for presentation. I've got, you know, something that really bumps my mind. It sounds to me, doesn't sound, it is, that there's a lot of similarity compared to what you people are doing. And I think the gentleman almost touched on the answer, Mr. Kola said, when he mentioned that, you know, because what I detected that what the youth fund is doing is on bombo. What they're doing compared to what you people are doing, there's a lot of similarities here, because you people have literally been training and training and training. Teachers are also doing training. Something that I need to understand is, when we talk about training, especially where money is involved, it's a very good thing. People need to be trained, especially young people, because I hear that the emphasis is here on young people doing training.
Yeah.
Why don't we centralize that function completely in one basket? As far as the training is concerned, then we centralize that, your training, the wrong training, move it completely to leaders and say, you take charge of training. I'm mindful of the fact that you people are in different categories, which means that you're doing training in different spheres of the society. That is the one concern though. The second thing that I also want to mention is, the people that you train, the youngsters that you target at school level, what is the end
idea. Is the end idea, and here I'm surmising, I need your assistance, is the end idea in order to allow those people to become let alone entrepreneurs in the future? Is the idea to afford them the opportunity so that they can become job creators instead of job seekers after school, especially with the present situation that we've got where our youngsters, many of them are dropping out of school as well? And if that is the case, because yesterday we listened to Mzomvungu, where they also have exactly the similar thing, where they train youngsters who've got, who never previously had access to funding, to money, where they might actually, they open up that window for them. Now, how do what you're doing tally with what they're doing? Because they also say they're going out to schools and you know. You mentioned about the award. In order for a person, an institution to get an award, what should happen for that person to get an award? You're speaking about SMEs and the sustainability thereof. How does this happen? And because to say that you assist with the sustainability of SMEs is one thing. Mm-hmm. What systems do you have in place in order to assist them, not to go bank? The concept per se is good. To hear that you're assisting them is good. But I want to know how. The last one. When I open this, can I call it the manual? Annual report. On page number 5, your board directive. I see Mr. Sam Monotoma, I see Mr. Kola, who are officials of the Department of Labor. Clear that one to me. Unless you will understand that we're new here, the second time that we met. I need to understand how do you become a referee and a player at the same time. Please just clear that air for me so that I can understand. And when in terms of them attending your meeting, do you also remunerate them based on your meeting or not at all? I'm asking this because I need to understand that for myself. Thank you. That's all.
Let us thank you for the remarks. No. The protocol is we get all the questions.
It seems not only the members of the NC Congress, but generally members of the community. Yeah.
Oh, bravo!
They are on training of learners and teachers, but learners in particular. Almost the same question. You know, training could be one thing for an adult like myself, like on the training, but it could be different for a learner who still has long way to go. That you offer budgets to make sure that in future they are also doing the same job that they are doing and just not learn to be job seekers as they want to complete their high school or maybe tertiary. And also they have exchange programs because from the presentation here, they're not only focused in South Africa but Africa at large. We have exchange programs for them to get exposure and see how things are done in other countries, but learning from the document and being their personal experience, you know, how to do things, it's different. And coming to SMEs, survivalists, that is Microsoft, most of them are, you know, illiterate, they have a little background of education, and when it comes to business management, it's almost zero. You talk about the mentoring, but it's an indicator to how long you mentor them, and is there any follow-up to make sure that they sustain, you know, the knowledge and the business doesn't collapse. And from the interventions we've made between Northwest and other provinces that are below 10, does it mean they do not apply in large numbers, or maybe they don't need your services, they are stable? Or maybe they do apply but they do not qualify in terms of the criteria. And what factors determine approval? And what are the conditions as soon as you approve the application? And because of the economic recession, we have so many departments and other entities funding the SMEs. What strategies do you apply to ensure that, or to avoid double dipping, whereby a person will benefit from this department and other departments on and on? Because, you know, we say information is power. If people are informed, assistance offering could be exploited or abused, people benefiting from one or two departments or entities. And I think earlier on, the contestant alluded to something like oversight. And for us to do oversight, we need to get some physical addresses of the entities we have assisted so we can go there and see if there is any progress. That is in accordance with the respective provinces. And the debtors, it is mainly women or males. We talked about the bad debt or the something like this. Or maybe I missed a point.
You said about the debtors.
Yeah.
And it is said, you know, that was the debtors, the size of the debtors
has
been decreased, and it is obviously today it's only 60,000 rand. The debtors are very much under control.
Okay.
So nobody owes us money, so we in good shape as far as that's concerned.
And you mentioned something very scary, you know, when you're doing some oversight, that is practice hearing on liver proteins, there was something that was mentioned about outsourcing. So I'm not sure as to how do you do this practice. Do you involve liver brokers, or what do you outsource, and how do you do it? And the type of businesses, you know, the tendency, a practice, it is common for women to be funded for flower arrangement, catering, and stuff like that. But for serious business like metalworking, you know, it will be men in that number. And in order to discourage women from seeking smaller kind of businesses that are just from hand to mouth, what do? You know, we used to discourage funding for training, for education, because we had a mass production of teachers, and at the end of the day, they didn't get appointments or employment. So in this case, we have here that if you, find the number of people who are doing the same business, at the end of the day, they won't be business, they will have to close down because they won't have the market.
The chief opposition is coming.
Let me just bring Raj into it before my colleague says something more boring. There's some good news about your organization. The good news is, of course, the examples that you gave us of where you've helped people in December Farmers Cooperative. That's fantastic news. The fact that you've no longer got this debt or budgetary problem, I assume you've got a clean audit, as you from the Auditor General. And then this rebranding of yourselves as Productivity SA. I mean, those four things are four key things which you've got right in the last, presumably, year, and I think that's wonderful and very good news. But there's bad news. There's lots of bad news, actually. I'm quite concerned about this entity. The fact that your budget is below 100 million says to me that it's a very small budget. Okay, and you're obviously not in it for the money, clearly, because when one looks at the remuneration of the directors and so on and so on, you're doing this because you care and because you're interested. So it's very hard to tell people bad news when they're really trying hard because it's not a money-making enterprise, okay? But there is some bad news. The first bad news that I have to say is, you used the phrase dull and unattractive earlier.
Mm.
And I wanted to burrow into that because you've marketed yourself in a new way with a new logo, and that's great. But when I look at the senior people in your organization and the presentation that you make, it is still a bit dull and unattractive. Productivity is something where you've got to enthuse people to get up there and to change and improve their practices and whatever else. And if the key members of the organization don't espouse that kind of attitude, that go-getter, it's almost a youthful attitude. You know, we saw it yesterday with that the chap that runs Volvo Youth Fund is now being part of the National Youth Development Agency. I mean, we gave him carrots yesterday because his presentation was also bad, but he's got that enthusiasm. So even if we didn't like his presentation, he put the cross well. He defended himself against the chairperson very well, even though his support was rubbish. He's good at that. You need people like that, and I'm concerned about the board and the executive committee of this organization, because if you're going to enthuse the country, we have a very low productivity in South Africa. You've got to have enthusiastic people who understand productivity, and I want to ask you a question about that. I want to know, in terms of the board specifically, and then I think it's the executive committee, how many people do you have on the board and on the executive committee who are either industrial engineers or who have studied productivity either at university or technical or technical college or have a marketing or motivational background? Because I suspect, and I'm guessing now, and you're going to slap me if I'm wrong, but I'm guessing that they're not many. And that worries me. It worries me that we've got people like Mr. Mansoba, who I don't think is an expert in productivity. Prove me wrong. Tell me I'm wrong, and then I'll apologize. But I don't think he's an expert in productivity, and we put him on the board. Why? I want to know who are these board members are experts in the field. I'm sure the professor is, because you know, they must be there for some particular reason. But this presentation is dull and uninteresting. So it doesn't give me confidence that the organization is not also dull and interesting. Okay. The content, you've spruced up overnight by adding in the financials, which is great, and you added in the examples, which is great, but without that, this was a really, really bad presentation. When I thought yesterday, I thought, it's always vague and generalizing. It doesn't give you the guts. You know, one of my questions is, for example, how do you measure your result? Are we achieving it or we're not achieving it? Because, you know, if you are an industrial engineer, you'll know that when you take away the marketing clips and you get down to the nuts and bolts, you have to actually measure how many units of cars went through that factory. You know, and then you use the phrase 15,330 jobs that have been impacted upon. It doesn't, what does that mean? I've impacted on him just by sitting next to him, but I've achieved not a great deal for the country. That sort of a statement doesn't help us. Give us, what does that mean? Have you trained 15,330? That's different. But impacted on him, it's sort of vague. It doesn't tell you. And then when I look at, you know, the sectors that you impact, our economy is agriculture, manufacturing, mining, and services. I think those are the four big blocks, if I'm wrong, maybe you correct me as well. But when I look at where your work is, it's in agriculture, hunting, forestry, and fishing. That's where the bulk of the work is. And I'm wondering about that emphasis. I mean, manufacturing and mining and these big industries, they are not as productive as they could be. And I'm not sure whether this organization is the right one to deal with it at that level, because perhaps you've got to train management in universities and colleges and technicals and those places, and not through productivity essay. So maybe I'm expecting the wrong thing from the wrong entity. So correct me if I'm wrong. But it's a big chunk here in agriculture, and I'm wondering about manufacturing and mining and these other big sectors of the economy. Should we not be spending more effort there? You said somewhere in your presentation that you can't make a profit, and I understand what you're trying to say. You're trying to say that you can't have government money lying idle because it's tax money. But that led me to another thought. Should you not be charging more for your services to those people that you supply them to, so that you can use that money to train more people? So it becomes like an engine for growing your balance sheet, so that if I charge you for the training a little bit, or your company maybe, then I can have the resources to train you and to maybe set up a computer system or whatever. Just a thought. You said, I think it was the CEO who said that you did a survey to determine, I can't remember what about, productivity, and they discovered that 70% of the interventions that you do relate to productivity. Well, your organization is about productivity, so I think that's rather obvious. I'm not sure why we had to do that. That survey to find that out. So those are my criticisms. I think the organization has fixed key problems, and that's good news. The bad news is, it still strikes me that the board and the executives and the key people, you know, you used the phrase, I'm sorry to borrow it from your earlier thing, but it does seem a bit dull. That youth guy yesterday, as much as his presentation was rubbish, he knew how to sell it to us. He made us sort of, and when the chairperson criticized him, he had answers back for you. And I'm wondering if you don't need perhaps one or two additional younger people, or one or two people. If I'm wrong about these skills, then tell me. But if I am right, then maybe you need an industrial engineer or somebody who's got more training in productivity, or perhaps one or two younger people to give it more kind of punch. And then in terms of the sectors, are we too focused on agriculture and forestry and not enough on other sectors? And then in terms of your budget, can you bring in more money by charging for services and so grow the organization, because maybe you should make a profit and then supply more? So those are just my, so there's some good and some bad. Thank you.
Is there a non chairperson?
No question from the committee. There's a question from the
The social plan intervention versus workplace challenges. I think that's where the question of industrial engineers comes in. It's in particular on the workplace challenges. Also link it with the consultancy work that is done with Israel organization. For specific productivity related matters, is it the area where you use consulting? I think in the nutshell, that was the question raised by my comrade on the left hand side, my honorable member. Not comrade. Comrade is on my right hand side. Does that mean the only work that you do as an entity is to dispatch consultancies to where work is supposed to be done, not necessarily yourself? Yours is start to coordinate and look at where work is supposed to be done, what kind of work, and look for the right people who will do the actual work who are not within the organization. Is it how you operate? That's the first point. The second point is You. I think that falls within the social plan interventions, issues of skills development. You had a target, and then you have trained a certain number of skills development facilitators, which the SDFs are in terms of the Skills Development Act. You are a productivity institute. What is the relationship between yourselves and the task? Are you service providers to CITAS? Because CITAS are there, they are not actually doing the training that, but they design training programs based on the needs analysis. And then they will invite now service providers. So are you also part of the service providers who are providing service to the sector? The last point here is, are you sitting in your offices and wait for people to say, I am sick, being sick, let the doctor come to me and examine me, or you go all out and look at what is it that needs to be done in order to increase productivity in the country? As it is your mandate. Yeah, let me stop there for now. For the first round.
I'll kick off with some remarks because the others will be technical and I might add as we go on. Regarding the composition of the board, one must just recognize that, as I said in the beginning, we are tripartite, you know, arrangement. So, as of now, nominations were asked from the three social partners. Mm. And it's not the Port of South Africa that selects. These nominations will then be given through to the Minister of Labour, and then he makes his choice. So, obviously, when you do that, when you accept your nomination, that calls for, you know, various mystical attributes you can measure. Part of which can be in terms of knowledge about the industry, but sometimes you bring in other knowledge in terms of, when you look in terms of the basic requirements of a board member, you consult King 3, you can see some of the attributes is more pertaining to something else than knowledge about the business of productivity. I can clearly state that all of members here has not just an interest, but has a firm knowledge base in terms of productivity and what it means. But primarily these guys focus on leadership on the board level, in terms of the of running the organization. So, as I said, obviously if we can handpick the best champions in South Africa, the board will maybe different from what we, but one do not do have a board on that basis. As far as the presentability is concerned, yeah, I'm the oldest guy there, so I can do with some redoing. But no, I think it's accept this in terms of us being more formal is also a learning process in terms of how do we present ourselves. I can assure you that there's a lot of fun and games in terms of what we do. There's an enjoyment if you listen to the executive team. And what happened in the past, with all due respect, Madam Chair, is we brought our whole team with us. And there were questions raised. Why are the whole executive team coming to the portfolio committee? But in that time, we asked several of the experts to do a presentation on that specific. And if we see and you meet them, it will be a different story. Here's my invite, Madam Chair. I think the whole portfolio committee must come and we must arrange for a visit with Productive South Africa in our tool room. And then we can talk about it, and we can see what we're up to. Then you can understand the real business of the business. So the engagement is you know, we do not know our customers on the other side of the table. I came here and I did something wrong, you might have had the right, you know, sort of impression as far as that concerned. So yes, I think I'm satisfied in terms of the expertise on executive management level that we can do the job. We obviously without a permanent CEO. The previous one resigned, but as I said, we're in a transition where the new appointed, a new board will have to appoint a CEO for the same term of office. You know, that we do not have a CEO running across boards. You know, so we're in that phase. Once we're there, then we will do the right appointments, etc. We're now waiting for the new board, you know, to be nominated, elected, and then constituted, and we follow due process after that. So this is more or less, you know, what we do in terms of the presentability of the organization. Especially, I think that your interest would like to go through the process that leads to the new corporate identity from where it comes from. And it was a rigorous process, you know, and we had the minister, you know, at our site, you know, and we ran through the whole process. And we launched it, etc. So what is embedded in the new corporate identity is supposed to reflect what you expect from us. And then that is the kind of thing, you know, in terms of the what we do. So we're all excited about this and how we are accepted amongst the productivity fraternity in South Africa, in Africa per se, and worldwide, you know, reflects that. Now, if you deal with the Japanese, I can assure you, you know, in terms of when they would do a presentation, that we would take, from a technology point of view, the best in the world. But they not sometimes not the best, most enthusiastic people in terms of conveying what they believe. So it's sometimes been seen as a more formal structure in terms of productivity, but I can assure you, the marketing executives of the site, if you let him go, he show you all the excitement about it. So this is an invite. Come to us and we'll take you through all what we do. And I think by doing that, you'll have a better understanding of what our commitment is. In terms of our commitment as a board, as you say, we're here from as a typical member of a board of directors. You know. We do not involve in terms of the operational aspects of product in South Africa, but we link good enough that we have a full understanding and there's a good working relationship between myself and the executive, and all of that is in place. that you offer now as far as possible. Your last statement you were asking, I can just...
No, I said there seems to be a lot of similarities.
But that one, if we will address that, you know, how we divide it, and I deal with you in terms of duplication means wasted spending, and we can deal with that, you know. So, Jefferson, from my point of view, I leave it to more clever people to do that, you know, and to answer with a more technical context.
Okay, I'll go through, I'm sorry, and my colleagues will fill in later. With regard to the cooperatives that were referred to, what we ensure, what we do in terms of ensuring that what we do is sustainable, we do not do it for people, but we help them identify what are the key constraints, help them to measure productivity, work with them towards productivity improvement, so that when we pull out, they can still continue to embark on the process of continuous improvement. So that those are the efforts that we put in place in terms of ensuring that our interventions are sustainable. And then in terms of partners,
can I add the an example that we have, for instance, sitting with even Mpumalanga currently, with the Department of Economic Development there, which we're going to be studying with cooperatives, is to say we go in, we do what we do, we help work with these cooperatives to identify, measure their own productivity. But also what we do is we capacitate the officials within the economic department so that when we walk away, that agenda of productivity improvement within the province, there is still a champion within the local level that drives it. Because what we have done in the past is when we walk away, sometimes if the money's not there, they're not able to get money from IBC or from whoever, the initiative collapses. But with, for instance, an interest that is sitting within the local economic development unit, it will ensure that this remains part of the agenda and it will continue to remain sustainable. So that is the new thinking that we're sitting with at this point in time. We say let's work also with economic departments within the region so that you know the link is not just with the Midrand office. When we have an issue at the Eastern Cape, they can still have a champion within the economic department in those regions as well. So that is the one way that we are kind of investigating and working with that.
Yeah, the next one was regarding the partnerships which we have with CITAS. What are those CITAS? And my marketing colleague will help if I miss that one. One, we've spoken to Chemical CITA. We've shared our studies on what are the challenges within the CITA, what the training is. Currently, we're training SPF within Sciences. Just to explain what's the difference between training by CITA and us getting involved. In terms of helping them to train skills development facilitators, we want a situation where there's a measurement of return on investment that's done into training. Instead of just counting the units of the number of people trained, we need them to go into the environment and be able to measure the impact of training that has taken place. So we're also talking to Energy CITA. With Energy CITA, what they are looking at is to create an environment where we can train SMMEs. Education CITA, they want us to get involved at a strategic level in terms of ensuring that their training that makes an impact. And then with regard to tourism CITA, we've also approached them, and we're also looking at the training of the SMMEs. Welfare and health, what they have indicated is that they want us to help them in terms of improving their processes of turnaround so that they can be more efficient. And we think if given that opportunity, we can create a model for other teachers as well. And then, what other teachers?
Yeah, I think you covered most of those. But the issues that were taken up, particularly when we work with the teachers, and I think it touches on the issue you raised as well of overlap in terms of training. A lot of institutions that we come across or work with, they're still uncomfortable with the subject of productivity. They feel that they're not experts. We work with CEDA, for instance, for smart enterprises. a component that related to productivity they didn't want to get involved in. They felt that it should be productivity essays that runs with it, because we've got experts, industrial engineers who know and can measure and put systems in place. So it's a very specific component which we have developed people, and I think the training that we're doing with, for instance, the Japanese that we've done over the past 5 years created all these competencies, the requisite skills that are required for flight. So for us to create and develop a strategy tailor, for instance, could take a couple of years. So I think they feel comfortable that we are the experts and that we should drive it at this point in time. So a productivity component in any training, it still is an issue that not everyone feels comfortable with. So it is still left to us to run with. So and it applies as well to the theaters as well. The theaters do all sorts of training for the SMEs, for the FCS, but when it comes to productivity, they feel that we are subject matter that we should drive that particular process. We're sitting with the same inquiry at this point in time with UNISA, who are saying that we are looking at a productivity program, and they are doing a productivity training. I think there's a course in UNISA that looks at productivity. And yet, having gone through tenders, they still don't feel comfortable to issue it to any other person. They are coming to us do that to help them put it together for them. So I think the issue of productivity is still seen as a very specialized environment, and people feel comfortable still allowing us to get involved. So we're going to still see that a little bit of overlap, I think, going forward.
Yeah, with regard to each.
Because you are saying that they want you to dive to person. How do you guide this person? Because teachers are not involved in training themselves. Other people are training on the other hand. Now, how do you guide this person? And how do you measure your impact?
In the in the training, for instance, that we do with the FDS, currently what you will not find in the CETA training is a productivity component. They do all sorts of training, but there is no link to productivity. And this is where they want us to come in and help the FDS.
Yeah.
So that we infuse a component of productivity in their training. Think that it's something that they've noticed is lacking in the training that they are doing, and as long as that component is missing, there'll always be a gap in terms of what the FDS do when they go on to train, whether it's SMEs or whoever. So while at the stage where we're working with FDS to infuse a productivity component in the training that that they are doing.
So this is in the process, it's not something that you have done.
I think this year we've been very aggressive in terms of talking to all the theaters that Bongani was talking about. The only theater that I think we have started with was the bank theater last year. But we never did the full training of all the targeted numbers. But this year we will be looking at all the different theaters and then implementing all of the theaters.
On this issue, I just want to check whether I understand you clearly. Skills development facilitators are appointed in terms of the Skills Development Act. You have got nothing to do with that process.
Yes.
And they are capacitated in terms of the requirements of the CETA. You've got nothing to do with that. The only thing that you do is to add in the capacity that they already acquired. You bring in the element of productivity.
Yes.
Okay, no, we're not fine.
Yeah, we teach them on how to measure productivity.
the chairperson, remember what he said in the beginning, we also teach them how to measure that investment made in training. To see what are you getting back for what you put in. That's very important. Otherwise, we relate back to your question. He has been impacted from what is the impact? It's nice to use those words, but you are interested in that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
What difference does it make? And it's not just through lip service, you know. We have the capacity to measure various levels of where the difference is made, and what we need to do is what is the quantum of the impact.
Mm-hmm.
If we say we save the impact on those jobs, if we say we have saved prevent that farming cooperative that nothing, nobody went bang as far as that's concerned. Remember what happened. If you take a company under strain, then you have to assess root causes, then you have to go through a process, you know, and sometimes those processes mean that it might be you have to shred jobs, but ultimately turn it around to recoup. But hopefully after what you've recreated, the new entity should be able to do more with less people. But now you're contravening and you have job losses. So what we then do is growing this company, you know, with better capacity and then restore, and then you have to return on that labor used and the jobs used. They are more done with the current job. So what happens exactly this morning with you, I'm an ag economist, you know, so I'm very concerned about the impact of what's currently happening in agriculture. So let me share this with you. We are of the opinion that the best way to start a revolution in South Africa towards rural development, to make farming more profitable. You are in the Western Cape, every hectare under the beautiful wheat stands there at a loss of between 200 to 400 rand per hectare. That's the current reality because of the world prices are so low. Now, what happens now, any industry, farming, that engage in farming, what is the impact of that? But more so, what is the knock-on effect of that? Now, what we argue, for instance, if you now, typically a farmer will say, let's now reduce labor, let's cut on the jobs, let's mechanize. And now, how do you grow out of that? Because you have to consider productivity, profitability on the farm level. So, hopefully what we will see is an industry, when you get through this period, you have growing industry, and you can then re-employ because you've got a bigger scope to do. But to measure that and to go through that is a very tedious process. And you're back to what you said in terms of why are we focusing maybe on that. Back to what you said in terms of if you have sick patients, does the patient come to you or you send the doctor to the patient? I think it goes both ways, you know. But current state is there where the most critical demand is. Remember what I said at the beginning. Demand is exceeding the supply of this kind of services. We have to focus on sometimes not of your choice, because sometimes your delivery can reap more fruit if it's in another industry, but this is where the job losses are massive in terms of those unskilled lower levels. We have to do a redress there and see a difference in them. So back to your question, Madam Chair, is what we do, you cannot involve, you cannot measure the outcome, and you cannot quantify the outcome. Otherwise, you know, you're not doing the right thing. That's what we're there for. We can do the measures.
You must
measure. But some instances, Madam Chair, if you cannot measure the impact, you know, then it very soon it can be, you know, you're just let water run into the sand, you know. Then you have to stop the running of the water. So we measure impact, and also we must sometimes must be honest. My field of interest, I'm a strategist, and I was very much in my life involved in turnaround of companies. And sometimes a company, you must be honest enough, this company cannot be turned around. So part of that should be to how do you build it down. What we try to do in terms of what Bongani said is we want to save jobs. But we want to save jobs doing what? Not by tying down the economy. You see, save a job is because we want to get a company out of the strain, out of the stress, into becoming profitable and being able to employ the people and retain the jobs. That's a real challenge, but we want to measure our outcome and all our endeavors Otherwise, you know, Mumbai said, where does the money go? What impact does it make? Now, back to the other question in terms of our footprint. Previous criticism against Provincial South Africa was, why not visible in other provinces? Now, you see our footprint. But if you...
So, which cities have you dealt with?
Sorry.
We are currently running a program with the bank teacher. We are about to start work on SMME with the energy teacher. We are working at a strategic level with the education teacher. And then we are in discussion with teacher for the SMME. And then the welfare and health one has asked us to coach them on improving their processes. I can continue. Yeah, there's also a question that, interesting, it comes over and over again, especially when we present, because we tend to present after Mtobong, and those similarities get picked up. Immediately after the last presentation, we started embarking on a discussion with the Mtobong Youth Fund CEO, and then we worked out a working relationship where we'll do the training ourselves. And that has been approved. In the next financial year, we will be doing training for them. And what they have also indicated is that part of the training, because as you rightfully say, that it cannot impact the entire economy the rate that we should do. The agreement will also involve a licensing agreement where we do train the trainer. Then in that case, having trained their trainer, then they'll be able to have a bigger reach than we would with our own limited resources. So we will be entering into a 2-year agreement that is based on the recommendations that came from this committee. And then with regard to learners, the question is, what is the end product? Are we training entrepreneurs? Is it a life skill? But part of it is life skill, because part of productivity is to look at wastage. And we believe that if learners are taught about wastage, then there can be improvement in the way they conduct their life. They can value what they are given by their parents, because there's been that creation of awareness about wastage and how they can go about. There are issues like time management, which can help them to be productive in their studies. And then the last aspect is the entrepreneurship, which if they understand productivity, they will be able to run businesses that are sustainable. So the learning is not just limited to making them good entrepreneurs, but it's also life skill as well. And then the next question I would like the marketing executive to answer: what should happen to get an award? Just take them through the criteria.
Yeah, the different categories that we're giving the award to. We've got emerging, we've got corporate and public sector. Now and then the chairperson will have the chairman's award. So this would be an outstanding company that is making enormous contributions to the economy, whether that's in the environment or whatever, but we look at that. And what we do is when we give awards to companies, is we put them through a very rigorous process. I think in the past, what we try and avoid is to give an award to a company that some companies have improved their profitability accidentally. You know, suddenly you get a big order somewhere and then, you know, you become profitable. But what we want to see is, have you got a deliberate program in place of improving productivity in your company? Do you measure, do you analyze? Are you able to put together improvement measurements in your company? You should be able to demonstrate all of those things for us. And only when you have been able to do that for us, we then, you know, consider you as a recipient for the award. The other issue that we look at, of course, is the impact on the environment and the society within which you operate. Some companies make big profits, but they never give back to the society within which they work. They never care about the environment. We have a lot of culprits, particularly from the mining sectors, who, you know, dump waste that is generated from these mining companies in the environment within which they operate, and people get sick. So all of those things we look at as well. So you should be able to demonstrate that you're a good corporate citizen, but also you are taking care of your people as well. Are you remunerating your people appropriately when you make all this productivity gains? So it should not just be about you as a company, give me situation. You've got to be able to demonstrate that you're measuring, you're analyzing, you're improving, that you're giving to the community as well. So we look at the different categories. So there are SMEs, there are public sector, there are corporate companies as well.
That's a very important thing. It's a process of identification, and then out of that we then appoint, you know, the champion, whatever. What we can do, we can definitely do more to use these winners, award winners, as role models, as companies in South Africa. And I think you should have been invited also to the award ceremony on Friday night. What we can do from our side maybe is see whether we can make DVDs available, you know, as we do presentations about these companies, because I always was impressed by what we do. Sometimes from what we hear, because of all the challenges, we think how we are way, way low. But these companies give you hope in terms of what they've done, how they improve, as you said, along a whole spectrum of performance indicators, not just one thing. But they are championing the real cause of productivity. How and what can be achieved being more productive? And I think if we have that, and I think we can do much more. And maybe with your collaboration, you know, with that, it might be worth your while to visit such an award winner as an entity, you know. See, but what do you do differently, and have a better understanding? Because sometimes people come to you in distress, but they neglect the obvious, how to start a new approach to doing business differently. But you'll be surprised what we can deliver, and that is now. So we'll engage you as far as that goes, and let me share with you that goodness.
One was that similarity between these two organizations. When you look at this, it actually, it may look similar, but more, they complement each other. In skills development, for instance, we also have a study anyway that may also be available to you on the skills development relating to productivity. Now, Umsebenzi is concentrating on the youth. That was the fund that was put aside to give it on the youth because of the most or the biggest number of unemployed is the youth. Now it was developed to look specifically at youth. But the skills development program is looking across all the, even the equity targets that nationally we need to meet on the, for instance, we have targets on blacks, on women, on youth, and youth we say it across the board because the youth are the most affected by this. Then productivity is also a cut across because once you get the people the right skills and these people are employed, then what is also needed then is are these people productive in where they are working, which is also a continuous thing. So that study, if it can be availed, it will very clarify the similarity. But these have to work with each other. They have to complement each other because if one side is working, then you may find that it doesn't get the broad objective. And then the other one was that one of the government members in the board. Yet, in that type of task, like labor, business, government, and also the proper role of the board members that are there. When the nominations are requested from the social partners, the profiles are clearly stated there that the social partners look at those profiles, that those people that are brought forward or that are nominated, they do have those needed profiles. And as the chairperson indicated, that the person then who appoints them ultimately is the minister, looking at those profiles as they have to be and all that. We did have a facility in that relation as well in our subcommittee of the board, but also in the new board as well that is coming. We do also have nominations with those facilities that you have cited. Now the other one here is the one of small budget. That is a we think that the board yet, not the, the portfolio committee, that will be able to also help the it initially said this organization was operating as a Section 21 company. And then that is why it was difficult for the government to fund it directly. So it was not a public entity. That is until last year, when there was an amendment of skills development. We have a Skills Development Amendment Act 2008, which was signed by the President in December last year. That Amendment Act accommodated these organizations within the legislation. That was effective, where we said that then it would be easy then to see to it that they fund to this organization or the government has done it in peace. Because initially it was a problem that there was no direct relation to how does government go on and increase its funding. So we are definitely hopeful that the committee will help with that on that.
Yes, David, with your permission, just that to you, why don't we grow the independent ability to source funds through consultation? Prior to the change in the Act, that was definitely our strategy. But if we remain, we should have remained with that strategy, we would be in conflict with what we now experience. You see, that when we would have established ourselves as a consulting company and not as a public entity. Now, that was before the Act changed. With that in mind, now we're in a different category, which we prefer, because otherwise you become a competitor within the consultation market and you have partly funded by the state, so I think that would be improper.
And as you finish saying, those board members from government, as I indicated earlier, they are not remunerated in any house. So when those board members attend meetings and that, you know, they don't get anything. And then they are there also to assist the organization, because as we had the head problems with funding and also to say that the compliance with the government legislation is adhered to.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to sustainability of SMMEs, what is it that we do have in place? Our process involves measuring. So we measure at the beginning what's the level of profitability. We train the SMMEs on how they can effect improvement. We also train them on how to evaluate the results. In terms of the last year's annual report, we were able to conduct a study that was showing the amount of loss, the expenditure that the SMMEs were incurring before the training, and after the training and we're able to project that over the years, they would have saved about 43 million. What makes the training sustainable is that we go beyond the 6 months of training where we do a follow-up to ensure that those measures are in place and there is continuous improvement. And in terms of training of learners and teachers, we train them on productivity competencies, so what is the behavior that is conducive to productivity, what competencies they need to demonstrate, and what affects productivity. And there was also a question around offering of bursaries. In terms of our limited funding and our mandate, we focus only on transferring skills and competencies, not giving money. But in terms of helping other industrial engineers as well to be equipped to be productive, we also put them on a graduate program where we take them to some of our interventions. I think at this stage I will also answer the question about do we have industrial engineers. The answer is yes, and they constitute a greater portion of our consulting staff because most of the processes involve that knowledge of industrial engineers. If we didn't have industrial engineers, it would be a challenge when we take our staff and put them through the training by the Japanese, because most of it requires that background on industrial engineering. So what we have picked up as well in terms of the performance of our staff in relation to other candidates is that they do well, because by the time they get into the program, they have the academic background, and all that's required is to convert that theory into practice.
But there's nobody on the board, is it?
As a body, I don't know about the nomination, but what the Supreme was saying is that there could be in the new nomination somebody with that competency. And then in terms of the executive committee, the executive that is driving the turnaround solutions of the social plan is an industrial engineer. The senior manager that is driving workplace challenge is a seasoned industrial engineer. So we do have those competencies, and we believe that they are key in terms of what we're doing.
And so productivity also cuts across. What they also have problem with productivity essays is the response of government departments, because public sector as well has to be productive. And that is where they get problems, because the departments don't respond. I guess that there is that arrogance that they know that they have to win. But we find that from the reports that we get, we find that there is a problem with productivity. And this organization, they have interacted with some of government departments in the provinces where they got a good response. But in some of them, you see that problem of productivity. So this productivity cuts across. It could be private sector, public sector, and all that. You all have to be productive.
Yeah, with regard to the map that we saw here, which is showing social plan interventions, and there's a question as to the number of interventions in the Northwest. The criteria that we are using in terms of qualifying companies, we use the recommendation from the network level, which says companies employing 50 or more. And that's informed by the limited funds that we have. So if we were to help every company, the cost of saving one job would be very high. So currently the cost of saving one job is about 2,000. So if we were to go smaller, then we would end up doing more companies but saving less jobs. So to a large extent, we adhere to that criteria of 50 or more. But in instances where companies can be clustered, if there are few companies around that area that are experiencing problems, then we cluster them, then it becomes cost-effective to embark on those interventions. So yeah, you were asking about criteria. Over and above 50 or more, that company must be willing to share information. Initially, they must give us 3-year audited financial statements which you can go through and analyze, and they must be committed to a collaboration between management and labor. So if the company doesn't want, if the management doesn't want to share the information with labor, then we walk away because it's one of the key requirements. But if they find, that's why when I was presenting the numbers, there was a discrepancy between nurturing and the signing of future forum, because with some companies, because of the cultural shift, they are not used to the sharing of information, so they take long to be persuaded to sign an agreement where they will be open about the sharing of information. So what else am I leaving regarding the criteria?
But I think you covered that, but yeah. I think what we can also add to, I think what's very crucial is we wait for companies or we go through them. We do a both of that. Sometimes when we read an aggressive media campaign last year, and through that campaign, we attracted quite a lot of companies who registered on the program. Unfortunately, we had to put them through this particular process, and not all of the companies that phoned qualified to be on the program. But we do both ways. We work with chambers, for instance. We've got roadshows with all the chambers in different provinces where we do presentations. We have access to their members. We tell them about the different programs we have. So I think through a combination of all these approaches, we're able to have these companies participate in the program.
Yes.
The state-owned enterprises are not on the social plan. I think the interventions we're doing with them is purely productivity improvement, just to look at their systems.
I'm asking what you mean productivity. Are you assisting them?
We are assisting the state-owned enterprises, but they don't come through the two programs we spoke about. It's more on an advisory level, on a consultancy level. Yeah.
And when they do approach us, we charge them. If ISCO comes or Transnet or Sportnet asking for assistance, we do a full recovery. We don't use the grant to finance their intervention. They are in a position to finance the intervention. Yeah.
No, I think it does make sense because they have money, you are more focused on the people that are actually supporting the party. You have most of your company. I did ask the same question last year. Where you have your SAA, the members that you know that should see that they are going down the street in terms of what is that you can do? Can you go to them and ask them, because you are from the government and those companies are state owned?
Yes.
Where do they get assistance? Do you wait for them to come since they have to pay, or do you market yourself when you see that they are in the problem? When they get into the problem that it become a particular, do you offer yourself to assist?
We do offer to assist in some other instances, like in the case of FAA, because of the good relationship we had with the union. It's the union that initiated that management should consider the assistance of productivity, which was the plan.
So very few of them that
come
through.
So currently we're working with, we've got ESCOM, we've got City of Joburg, we've got so we've got quite a few state-owned enterprises that we approach or that come to us. So it's a combination.
I just wanted to ask for to be excused because we've got another meeting now following at the 12 o'clock show. So maybe I don't know how far are we. Regards to competing, because you know, my guests are waiting there already 5 minutes before the time. So, would you say just excuse us?
Mm-hmm.
It's now exactly 7 minutes to 12.
Okay. No, it's fine if you're competing, but if you have to go,
yeah, we
we don't mean to be rude, but we had a prior arrangement for 7 o'clock. There were a few people in the queue, but thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm glad that Ola has told us that this organization has been significant, which partly answers the question as to why it experiences the financial constraints, but and also answers that why it has still have three provincial or regional offices, of which we think that is a challenge, because I think based on the presentation made, the growth is, of necessity to all of us, especially people on the ground. But it doesn't completely answer my question that I firstly asked to say. The WTC that has taken place in 2008 is it might be the cause that it was recently the 1621 that could not discuss upon putting the paper together discussing the issue of how could one could assist one another in terms of finances or financial viable or assisting in growing the finances. If that is the case, then that it was recently coming from the 1621, then I would understand that you could not be able to discuss, among other issues, the issue of finance. But if that was not the case, then is there any discussion that made in ensuring that your growth in future is, being seen? You also taking this condition forward and ensuring that it doesn't collapse.
Thank you, sir. Okay, it's a shock to hear that you have intervened at the SAA. Given the situation, one refrain to start to intervene. And on the training of lay work, lay optimist.
Yes.
Yeah. I think this is the team that will give an effective answer. We had a presentation on the layoff in the community development. We had a presentation in this same committee. And I had one question that was not answered to my satisfaction in terms of productivity. That is it productive to train a person who is in his 60s or early 60s? Because it was said that the main objective of this training is to ensure that when the company recovers, economically, the same people will be taken back. But by the time they take you back, how old are you? And with the lack of knowledge as to how long will the crisis take for the company to recover, you see? And as compared to voluntary packages, whereby people will be trained, maybe two teachers, for them to take packages and do something, they will be sound economically. And there was another response as to the discrimination based on the constitution. But I think we have what we call fair discrimination. If you do something to benefit the particular person instead of just following blindly the constitution and make a person worse off, maybe you will provide the correct answer as to is it productive to train a person at that age if the company has the potential of retrenching people and you think that after 3 or 4 years the company shall have recovered and give the same person back. Yeah.
So in your annual 2007-2008, you were the sixth management position, such a position. And in this one, you have two. Now, this seat that you refer to them, that's the reason here. In this two parts of the seat, you are stepping into the seat. And when are you appointing the CEO?
understand that to start with your last question first and then one can answer the other, as I try to explain, in the new constitution, the appointment of the CEO will be done by the new board. The new board is just gone through a period of nomination, so we're waiting for the appointment of the new board by the minister. Once that has been completed, then the new board will then go ahead to appoint the new CEO. But this is not totally not the ideal situation. And, as a board, we have in writing request the minister, you know, to speed up, expedite the whole process, because we have an acting CEO. We have a board that know that terms of office has been expired, you know, but we agree that we will continue until the new board is coming, that we don't have a lapse in terms of the governance. So I think don't see this as a practice. I think this is a you know, it's a totally period in transition. So once we have the new constitution in place, I think the the process will be more smoothly as it currently is. So we're currently in a transitional phase, implementing, following the change of the Act, etc.
Do
you
have to wait for this board to be
about? Yes, ma'am, we have to wait. You see, so let me explain it. The minister can appoint the chairperson, and then appoint amongst from the different nominees received. He then appoints board of directors, the board, two from each constituency. And then this new board will then go ahead and then recruit and appoint a new CEO. And according to the new constitution is that the terms of office and the new CEO will have to run simultaneously. But already you can imagine if the new board is appointed now, it will only take a couple of months before the new CEO can be recruited. And so, but these are the teething problems that we have to get through. And subsequent to that, we will then hopefully make changes to the constitution to have a proper handing over in terms of et cetera, appointing people. You know. That is as far as the CEO level is concerned.
But I don't think it's because I don't know how long have you been without the CEO. Why I'm asking, do we have to wait for this board? Why didn't the outgoing board appoint the CEO immediately when the other CEO what happened? Is the CEO the latest guy to somebody else? Well, where is this? What happened? Somebody else? So it's a first time.
Now the CEO resigned and the non-executive board member has done a match. But with regard to the issue of the CEO, the thinking around that is that the board that's going to be appointed is going to run over a period of 5 years. And the CEO's contract will also be for 5 years. And there will be a better relationship between the board and the CEO if the CEO has been appointed by the new board as opposed to the outgoing board, because the vision may be different. So when the new board will know where they want to take this organization, and they will therefore look for somebody who takes the organization to that direction. And then with regard to the other question that you asked regarding
That is currently in our constitution, the new constitution that has been accepted. That practice, as I said, which is first, the end of the act, you know, I'm saying the transitional phase. But once it's in operation, I think then we'll have the momentum going. We don't see the same situation.
Okay, maybe since
you're
from the department, I'm sure you want to say something on the issue of the CEO. Then you might as well tell us how long will the CEO be appointed immediately after the board is appointed. So how long will it take to, will you come here next year again?
For
the CEO.
Yeah, obviously soon, now it's going to change process. Because what happened was this, after the proclamation of the function that is, there are these skills development counseling, that is to go to higher education and training. Now there has to be a separation of these functions within the department, because out of that, then the productivity SA and employment services had to remain with the Department of Labor. So then the department had to focus on that, but that takes effect with the 1st of November, this coming week. So, and that is why in the process we continue with the getting those nominations for the board. There was a delay from social partners submitting nominations. From labor, but they ultimately submitted their nomination. Now the submission is on process, the ministerial submission, all the nominations are there. So that is why I am confident that by next month a lot will happen in terms of appointing those board members, the chair has been, the CEO. I think I'm sure the address will be out. Yeah, it's not from that level, because the General Secretary does approve that the nomination. The Federation selects that person, and the General Secretary then approves that this person is nominated for that Federation. Yeah, as I was saying, since all these separation takes effect from next week, by the end of November, I'm confident the board will be in place and then the issue of the attachment of the
Yeah, with regard to positions, we've only actually answered because we responded to the executive. To the CEO, with regard to the executive, currently all the executive management positions that we've taken. So we don't have that. No, even those two have been
taken. Why? After the report.
We're looking at the end of the period. Yeah, with regard to the training of the layoff, we do take the point that we will get involved in terms of influencing the criteria, and we will take into consideration what is said, because I do agree that the job to be saved is not the quality job. And then the other issue that you are raising is also the period. The period will be defined if it's going to take too long for that company. The funds can only run for a certain period. It cannot run forever. What will happen is that the company will be assessed, and if the assessment indicates that with the kind of financial assistance it will be able to turn around within a certain period, then that company will be assisted. But we cannot have a situation where the company is financially assisted for a period that is in excess of 3 months. And then another question. Yeah, when we were referring to the jobs impacted on, we're merely saying that of the 105 companies, there were 15,000 jobs, but we're not simply saying that that's all we've done. We do have come up with a booklet on the turnaround solutions with all the case studies of the companies that, no, not all, but with some of the companies that we've assisted and the nature of interventions and the improvement that we've effected. So maybe we need to also distribute that, because it's not enough just to say we've impacted on 15,000 companies, but you need to also see what have we done in terms of improving profitability, retaining jobs, and opportunities for creating more jobs. And then with regard to the spread within social plan, yes, we do not have so many companies in the manufacturing environment. But on the other hand, when you look at workplace challenge, it compensates because a good number of companies that we are interviewing is in the manufacturing side. And I think with our marketing strategy, there would be an improvement in terms of the companies, the spread, that we should not only be seeing companies in agriculture, but also in other sectors as well, including mining. And then the charging of people in the private sector, we have indicated that if a company is an owned organization or a private company, for the kind of work that we do charge. We don't use the government grant for the work that we do. And then with regard to consulting, yes, there is work that we are outsourcing, but to an extent that we do not have capacity internally. But anything relating to our core competencies, we do internally. Over and above our employees, we also have interns who help in terms of increasing the pool that we are using for training. So those interns, we expect them to grow into the organization and move up the ladder, and as the scope of work increases, so we will be able to increase their capacity. Yeah, the other question that you haven't answered is how do we prevent diversity? We cannot always prevent that. But if we are involved in social plan and workplace challenge and there's transparency and they are shared to that transparency, you will be able to see that this organization has received financial assistance from ITC. So therefore there's no need that we should use our own funds or go into the effort of securing funding because funding has been received. And if that funding is for training, then you use that fund instead of the social bank fund. But there's a process of transparency and attendance that helps in terms of understanding to what extent should we be helping such organizations. And we like to believe that most of them are honest. I don't know what other question. What other question has been not answered?
I also want to commend you for being able to turn around the company after this second meeting that was more than you asked, and it's a great improvement. So, but there's a lot that needs to be done. And it's very difficult for us to never. I'm sure once you go to where you might have a question or go into some of the companies that you have in the expertise in terms of the process will be in a much more efficient position in terms of understanding the interest and how many that you have. But I can see that really I think that you're doing the question of what is typical. So, you know, last time when you were here about if you take on the economy, I remember that your answer was you don't go, people must invite you, but I can hear now that it's both, you can go and they can come. And it's still a concern to us that we have. People with your expertise that are able to assist and define our own thinking in the society, being in the mess that they are in. Unless I do understand your limitations and your focus, that is not your own focus, maybe something that we have to top command staff or the committee, how can these other companies or this system be affected? Because if you meet with the world, you meet with Africa as well. I find it difficult myself. I was asking myself, what exactly is being said when you meet these international companies? What is that you are discussing there? Are you coming up with the improvements that you have made, you're sharing with you? But what impact do those international companies that you are meeting with assist you in making more contributions in terms of developing this productivity in South Africa? But yeah, of course, it is explained, we try to just explain. We may not understand everything that we are doing, since it's our first or second, generation. As time goes on, we understand, but we don't, a few comments. I would want to declare them to show you.
Thank you very much. Not next year, next time.
But we have a car.
Then go with them.
What's this?